for an answer. He said, come follow me, and that was the end of it. And so the 12 followed him, and towards the beginning, he sat them down, and he said, okay, listen, here it is. I'm going to lay it out for you. And he gave them what's now called the Sermon on the Mount. He was sitting on a little mountainside. He gave them the Sermon on the Mount. It begins with a passage that's called the Beatitudes. We're going to read it here in a minute. It's from Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. And don't turn there. Hold still. I promise I'll give you time. He sat them down and he went through the Beatitudes. And he answered the question forever, are you who you say you are? Because Jesus, he is who he says he is. But he built for us a mirror. In the Beatitudes, he built for us a mirror. And he says, step up and take a look. Look into this mirror of the Beatitudes, and then you answer the question. Are you who you say you are? So, go ahead and turn. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew, Mark, Acts, and... Oh, wait, that's not how the song goes, is it? What page is it? 671? 671? There we go. No, not in Mary C's Bible. It's 1043 or something. 1537. Or if you're Danielle, it's on right there on your iPhone or Android or whatever it is she's got back there. So Matthew chapter 5. Are we all there? Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 1, starting in verse 1, starting. Oh, beautiful. Here we go. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down, and his disciples came to him and began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There's a little symmetry there going with blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then at the end, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, also, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we ask you now to reveal for us Jesus in these scriptures. Help us to see him more clearly, to know who he is, to understand him better. But also help us, Lord, to see in the mirror that you've made for us so that we might be able to answer the question for our own selves. Are we who we say we are? Be with us this night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know about your house, but in my house, sometimes growing up, there was a little bit of tension. Slight tension between my mom and my dad. And I love my parents, and they're still together, praise the Lord. And they set that example for me, that they've stayed married all these years, even though it wasn't always easy. And those of us who have been married for more than 5 minutes will say, amen. It's not always easy. But my dad was raised in a difficult environment, and he was not treated maybe as children ought to be treated, and he had some residual issues as a result of that. I'm speaking in big fancy words. If you don't understand, it means his parents were kind of mean to him. And he had some carryover as a result of that, and he was a yeller and a screamer. Now, he wasn't a hitter. He wasn't abusive. He wasn't an alcoholic. None of those things. But he was a yeller and a screamer. And I don't know if you guys have ever been around somebody who's a yeller and a screamer, but it's not a super fun environment to be in all the time. So several times I can remember my dad coming in and saying, where's this tool? And I'd be saying, I don't know where the tool is. And then there's like levels of unhappiness. He was about here sometimes. And it felt like he was this tall, because when you're around a yeller and a screamer, you feel about this tall. So he was a yeller and a screamer, and usually, and I think this is probably true in most marriages, the yelling and the screaming was directed at my mom most of the time, because she spent money she wasn't supposed to spend, or because she did something she wasn't supposed to do, or because she didn't do something she said she would do, or whatever. You get the idea, because none of us are perfect. So I grew up in this kind of a household where there was, some of us refer to it as walking on eggshells. And maybe some of you are familiar with this thing where when dad comes home, it's time to walk on eggshells, because you never know when he might begin yelling and screaming. And praise the Lord, he may listen to this, he may watch this, I don't know. But he knows this is true, so don't worry, I'm not saying anything he doesn't already know. And he's much better now than he was way back then. So praise God, people can grow and change, and this is a good thing. Nod your heads if you have any idea what I'm saying to you tonight. Okay, praise the Lord. So I, being the younger brother, my older sister being a different individual in her own personality, I began to be the peacemaker. I even have a slide. There's the peacemaker slide right there. So blessed are the peacemakers. I began to be a peacemaker, and if my mom had done something, because she did, I mean, God bless her, I love my mom, but there were times when we didn't have the money, but she spent it anyway. Any of you ever been? Never mind. So you don't have to admit to that one. But there are times when you don't have the money, but you spend it anyway, and then there's a good reason to be angry, because now we have a hard time, you know, paying the mortgage or buying groceries or whatever it is if the money's already gone. And so there was anger and da-da-da-da-da-da. You get the idea. So there were times when my mom would be in trouble and my dad would be coming toward her, and he would be unhappy. He would be enraged, okay? And I would sometimes try to figure out if there was a way that I could say something or do something to manipulate the situation so that there wouldn't be an explosion. Not a big fan of explosions. On TV, fine. Movies, I'm good. In my living room, bad. Bad. Don't like explosions in my living room. So I learned how to try to kind of manipulate situations. So I would try to distract him. Hey, Dad, did you hear about the such and such thing happened? And so I would try to distract him in some way, or I would try to give him some good news to kind of prop him up a little. You guys know these techniques, don't you? You guys have lived in these shoes a little bit, right? Some of you are like, dude, this is hitting too close to home now. You're talking my language. I don't even talk about this because this makes me nervous. I don't even like it. But you get the idea that some of us live in this environment. Blessed are the peacemaker. That's not what he's talking about. That whole thing that I just went through to describe my own situation is not at all what Jesus was talking about. Oh. Well, what'd you tell us that for? Because this is what I think. Most of us read the Bible and we take it at face value, and that's good, because most of the time, the words say what they mean. But sometimes there's more meaning there, or there's an altered meaning there. You see, these words were written, you know, approximately 2,000 years ago. In a whole different part of the world. In a whole different language. And we have a hard time communicating to our parents because they don't understand what we're trying to say. Am I right? Anybody in here identify with that? Okay, just Matt in the back row. He's like, amen, praise Jesus. I'm with you, brother. Gives me like one of these. So we have a hard time communicating with our parents. Sometimes there are complications, and it's not as simple as it seems. So here it is. It says, blessed are the peacemakers. So I'm going to pick up on this right here. Blessed are the peacemakers, and here's what it doesn't mean. Because, let's just read through the whole thing. Verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Okay. In our vocabulary then, from that perspective, here's what a peacemaker is. A peacemaker is someone who can smooth out what's rough. kind of like when you're making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and you use the crunchy peanut butter, but you don't use any jelly. It kind of has that. You need the jelly to kind of give it some sweetness and to kind of give it a little bit more, liquidy kind of a sensation. Anybody here eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Okay, praise the Lord. Some of you have an understanding of what I'm saying. Then the peacemaker is just jelly. Is there any substance to the jelly? No. Does the jelly actually add anything nutritionally? No. What's the jelly do? Makes it taste better. Makes it taste better. You guys didn't even... You know what jelly has? It has sugar. This is what jelly has. Jelly has sugar, and praise the Lord for sugar. I'm not saying sugar's bad. I'm saying jelly isn't... most jelly does not have a lot of substance to it. But who would eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich without the jelly? There are people out there, right? I know you're out there. I know. It's just called a peanut butter sandwich. Okay, here's another example. You guys all have an understanding of a motorized vehicle. We usually call them cars. And you put gas in the car, and the gas burns, and you go. Okay, but then there's this other liquid you have to put in every now and again. It's called oil. And if you don't put the oil in, and if you don't change the oil, if you don't maintain the oil, then what happens is the inner parts of the car are not lubricated, and then friction causes heat, which causes expansion, which causes seizing, which causes explosions, and we don't like explosions except on TV and movies. We already talked about this. Okay, so you're with me. Not in the garage either. We don't like explosions in the garage either. So does the oil make the car go? No. The oil does not get burned. It does sometimes if your car's not running right, and then you need a tune-up. If you're burning the oil, you need a tune-up, okay? Just so... Ever see a car steps on the gas and that black cloud? Yeah, you guys all know that's oil being burnt and needs a tune-up. That's not what it's designed for. The way that we have peacemaker stuck in our head is oil. It doesn't make the car go. It just keeps it from stopping. It keeps it from exploding. It prevents the problem, but it's not part of the solution. That's the way we have peacemaker in our head. And that's not what Jesus is talking about, because Jesus is saying you need to be proactive, not just reactive. When dad comes through the door and he's already mad and you're just trying to get between dad and mom so there isn't an explosion in your living room, you're just trying to be the oil that prevents the explosion. You're trying to be the jam on the sandwich so that it's not just crunchy peanut butter, because that's not the way most of us like it. Some of us do, but so here's the thing, and we've talked about this before. Let's go back to the list. I'm going to read it through you real quick, starting in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I'm just going to read the blessings. I'm not going to read the promises. Verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn. Verse 5. Blessed are the meek. Verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. 7. Blessed are the merciful. 8. Blessed are the pure in heart. 9. Blessed are the peacemakers. 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. What we said at the very beginning of this whole series is this. You can't do any of these things on your own. You can't do any of these things on your own. I'm not there yet. Can you go back one, please? You can't do any of these things on your own. Starting all the way back at poor in spirit. What was poor in spirit? It means that you have a recognition that you can't earn enough. You can't do enough. You can't be good enough to get to heaven on your own. You're poor in spirit. You can't buy your way into heaven. And you can't even get to that realization without the Holy Spirit getting you there. You can't do it on your own. You can't even get to the place where you realize you can't do it on your own. On your own. That was a little complicated, but you're old and wise. I'm sure that you can understand. So the next one is, blessed are those who mourn. You can't even get to the place where you're mourning on your own. Because mourning is what? It's saying, I am such a sinful creature, Lord. My insides are black like soot. All of the good things that I've done are nothing. And I know that. And it grieves me. And I mourn. But you don't even know that you have sin in your heart unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. He's the one that pulls down the curtain and shows the truth. And then you get it and you go, oh, my God, I'm so wretched. Why would you even want to be with me? Blessed are those who mourn. Even that's brought about by the Holy Spirit. Blessed are the meek. Meek is gentleness. It's not just being soft and easy and a pushover and all those things that we think of meek. Meek is not the kid who gets picked on every day at school. That's not meekness. That's weakness. Don't confuse the two. Meekness is not weakness. Jesus Christ was meek, but never once did he back down. Ever. In fact, so often what you see, if you read throughout the Gospels, the guys would get so mad, and the Bible would say, and they were ready to stone him, and they were furious, and they even one time they backed him all the way up till his back was up against the cliff, and they were ready to push him off or stone him or throw him off or something. They were furious. There's a whole mess of them. And the Bible says, and then he just walked right through them like they weren't even there. Because he's God. He is not a wimp. Meekness is not weakness. It means a gentleness of spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We talked about this last week. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness means you make a decision. I want to be like you, God. I know I have the sin, but what I'm saying is I want you. I know I'm going to fail and I'm going to flop and I'm going to mess up. But my desire is for you. My hunger is for you. And I can't even make that decision without the Holy Spirit. I can't do any of these things without the Holy Spirit helping and encouraging and guiding and making these things happen. So here we are. Blessed are the peacemakers. This isn't some guy who sits in an office at the United Nations. And when two nations get really mad at each other in a debate, he steps in and he's like, guys, chill. Yo, I got this. Chill. I know, Croatia, I get it. You're mad at Lithuania. It's okay. Everybody take a deep breath. I'm the peacemaker. That's not how that works. Because that's a man doing something in his own strength and power. A peacemaker is not something that you can get on your own. A peacemaker is something that you have to rely on the Holy Spirit for. So this is what it isn't. It isn't just an easygoing guy who's easy to get along with, who nobody ever has a fight with. You guys know people like this. There are some people who are easy to get along with and some people that are not so easy to get along with. Like, just don't say anything to Sally because she's already in one of those moods. And then if you say something to her, it'll just make her mad. So just stay away. You know those people? It's not talking about that. That's not what this is about. It's not about peace at any cost. Lots of us in this room, me included, okay, look at me. I was, in quotes, I was a peacemaker, grew up in that home, learned how to placate is the word, how to put jelly on the walls so that it wasn't so nasty, right? Just a little bit more smooth. Just made a little bit more smooth. I learned how to do that so well that it cost me in my marriage. In fact, the truth is, ready for this? Guys, listen, secret hint. Here, ears up for boys. Girls want to know how you actually feel about things. They want to know how you actually feel about things. And here's what we do as boys, because mostly as boys, what we want is just for the girl to adore us and think we're cool and hot, and we just want them to like us. And so oftentimes, and this isn't just a girl thing, sometimes it's flip it around, you know, this shoe goes on either foot, I'm just saying, but we get into a relationship and the relationship is so important to us because we're all droopy eyed and gushy and we're Twitter pated and all that stuff, right? And so even when things happen that we don't agree with or that we don't like or things that make us feel uncomfortable and they happen and we see that they're happening and we feel that they're happening and there's this like this tension inside of us, and yet when the person, whoever it is, your lovey-dovey person, comes to you and says, well, what are you thinking about? You're like, nothing. Well, are you okay with this? I mean, I know this is a big step, but are you all right? If you're all right, I'm okay. And we do this. It's the super easy road, whatever it is, to make them happy because I'm so afraid if they left me, it would be horrible. Life would be over. And so it's peace at any cost. That is not a peacemaker. A peacemaker does not say what's wrong is right just to maintain the peace. That is not a peacemaker. If something's wrong, a peacemaker says, that is wrong. Peace at any cost. A peacemaker is not sensitive. We talked about this last week. Pastor Gary taught me this phrase, and I really like it because it's very true. The phrase is, thick skin, soft heart. Thin skin, hard heart. If everything that everyone says to you or about you gets to you and makes you so mad and angry and they just don't understand you, it's so... Your heart becomes hard as a rock because everyone's out to get you and everything's horrible. But if your skin is just a little thicker and people say things about you and you just go, well, nothing I can do about that, and you just keep moving on, your heart stays soft. Your heart stays soft. Peacekeepers have soft hearts, thick skins. A peacekeeper does not have a desire to be the center of attention. Does not have a desire for arrogance and puffed upness. A peacekeeper doesn't walk into a situation and say, everybody look at me! I'm about to take care of this. You should all know I am amazing. And it's going to be okay. Which you all know because you've had friends who caught between you and somebody else and you were at a little war and they came in and they're like, it's going to be okay. I'll just take care of this. And you're like, shut up and get out of my face. Right? Don't lie to me. Tell you. A peacekeeper, ready for this? Here's a definition. Here's the whole bit. A peacekeeper is somebody who desires men to be restored to God. There it is. A peacekeeper is somebody who desires men to be restored to God. And what does God want? Jesus made it pretty clear, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. God wants two things, love God and love others. So if you're at war with your friend, your relationship with God is messed up. Did you know that? If you're at war with your friend, your relationship with God is messed up. You can't be at war with your brother and at peace with God. It doesn't work. You guys all know that because you've lived it. So a peacekeeper is somebody who has a desire to bring peace between God and man, to bring restoration between God and man, to make that happen. And a peacekeeper, in order to do their job, they have to be humble. And here's the definition of humble, because I've shared this with you guys before, but it's so good. It's not mine. I wish it was. I wish I had made this thing up. Here's the definition of humble. You guys should write it down. Humble. Humble is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. It's not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Humble is not that, oh, I'm really not very good at anything. I'm just a lowly, sad person. Can't do anything right. I know how to tie my shoes, but that's about it. Sometimes I even need help with that. Oh, shut up. That's all false humility. You know what humility is? Humility is this. Tell me about you. What's going on in your world? How's your relationship with your mom doing? It's not about me. That's what humility is. There's this song, maybe you've heard of it. It's called So Long Self by Mercy Me. You can run that one around in your head if you want to know what humble is. Humble, I mean, peacekeeper is this also, and this one makes so much sense if you think about it. Ready? Slow to speech, quick to listen. And that's one of those things you guys have been taught since you were this tall. Well, guess what? You're this tall now, and it's still true. That whole phrase, God gave you 2 ears and one mouth, he probably should have given us 4 ears, honestly, and half a mouth. Yeah, because what's the first thing we do when we get into a situation? We start talking. Did you know this? And then this happened. And then, oh, did you guys hear? And all the while, your friend is dying away, trying to share something with you from the depths of their heart. And you're slow to speak, quick to listen. And here's the promise. Ready for this? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Who's the son of God? Who's the son of God? Jesus is the son of God. There's no doubt in our minds. Jesus is who he says he is, and he is the son of God. And he is fully God. And this is the promise. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Oh my. You know what that means we have to be? We have to be Christ-like. So, if you are who you say you are, and you look into the mirror, who should you see? Jesus. You should see Jesus. Well, that's easy to say, but that's hard to do. You should be Jesus. If you are who you say you are, you should be like Jesus. The beautiful thing, Jesus' nickname, Prince of Peace. Jesus was a peacemaker. Now, he didn't come to bring the kind of peace we think about. He didn't come to bring earthly peace. He didn't come to usher in a new era. See, all of those people, the Jews, the Sadducees, and the Pharisees, all of them got together and they're talking to Jesus and trying to get it all sorted out. Okay, Jesus, when are you going to take the throne? When are you going to build the army? We'll have peace as soon as you're sitting on the throne and you're the king, and you're ordering your troops around, and everybody else submits and bows down to you. And Jesus is saying, yes, but not the way you think. My army is not the army you think. My troops are not the troops you think. My throne is not the throne you think. My crown is not the crown you think. And my kingdom is not of this world. I am a king. He made that very clear. He said that on multiple occasions. I am a king, but not a king of this dirt. My kingdom is far greater and more vast than you can possibly imagine. He was a Prince of Peace then, and he's the Prince of Peace now. And his kingdom is everywhere that knees are bowed before him. So I ask you this, have you bowed the knee of your heart to Jesus? Then you're part of the kingdom of God. You're part of his kingdom. In this place, we bow our knee to Jesus Christ and we say, you're the King of Kings and you're the Lord of Lords. This is part of his kingdom. In heaven, we're going to bow our knees before him there and we will say, you're the King of Kings and you're the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Heaven. That's part of his kingdom. He's not the king in men's hearts who don't bow their knee to him. They are not part of the kingdom of heaven. They're not part of that kingdom. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the King of Kings. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right, time to move on. Blessed are, this is the funnest one. I tell you what, I'm so excited about this one. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then he goes on to expand upon that just a little bit. But it says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are persecuted. This sounds like that passage in Romans that always hurts me. Blessed are the persecuted. Blessed are you when you're persecuted. That's not blessing. I'll show you. Persecution. The word, I'm not going to tell you what it is in the Greek because you don't care. But this is what it means. To follow after, harass, pursue, and systematically oppress. Systematically oppress. That's persecution. To systematically oppress. And you're saying that's blessing? Have you lost your mind? That is not blessing. I've been persecuted. Oh, look at the Christian kid. Isn't he a goody-two-shoes? I don't know if you've ever heard that. I heard that as a kid. I didn't really like it very much because it was intended to be this kind of comment. I'm big and you're little. I'm cool and you're lame. I got it and you don't got it. I have friends and power and authority and you are weak and lowly and sad and pathetic. Look at the little Christian kid. It was a system of oppression, part of growing up. And that wasn't just my experience, that's your experience too. You have friends who call you friend, but when people find out you're a Christian and the other people are attacking you, they are nowhere to be found. And here's, blessed are those who are persecuted. Jesus doesn't mean goody, goody, joy, joy. When you're persecuted, Jesus is not saying, okay, now that you've been persecuted, it's time to jump up, rise up, and shout for joy. Somebody hates me. Can I get an amen? No, that doesn't even make any sense. That's not what Jesus is talking about. We'll get into what Jesus is saying in a minute. But the idea is not that. The idea is something entirely different. But here's what we have to keep in mind. Why would you be persecuted? Well, let's look back. Why was Jesus persecuted? Because he was definitely persecuted. He was definitely a part of a system of oppression. And Jesus was persecuted. Why? Because he was holy. The Bible says that righteousness has an aroma with it. Not a literal. It's figurative. It's okay. You don't have to like, you know, it's not that. Righteousness has an aroma to it. An aroma that rises up to God. And he gets a sense of our righteousness the way we get a sense when mom is cooking. And there's nothing like chocolate chip cookies. I'm just saying. I've been around chocolate chip cookies for a little while. Some of you know my wife's baking cookies. And there's an aroma that's unique to chocolate chip cookies. In fact, it's so unique that good real estate agents, when they want to sell a house, some of you guys heard this before, some of you haven't. They go into the house before they bring the customers, and they bake cookies in there. Why? Because it makes the house smell like cookies. And who doesn't want to buy a house that smells like cookies? I'm just saying to you. There's an aroma. Righteousness has an aroma, and it goes up before the Father, and he loves it. It has an aroma. But here's what it also says, that aroma, while pleasing to the Father, is a foul stench in the nostrils of those who are unrighteous. Some of you guys seen this before too. There's that one kid at school who everybody picks on. And you thought about picking on him. Maybe you did pick on him. Maybe you were part of the group that picked on that kid. Or maybe you were the kid that got picked on. I don't know which way this is going. But here's what I know. If you stand up for that kid and say, hey, back off. Leave him alone. It's enough. And you stand in the gap and you become a peacemaker. And you say, this is wrong. Knock it off. The first thing they're going to do is start persecuting you. Oh, look at the goody two-shoes. All of a sudden, he's all upset. All of a sudden, she cares all of a sudden. As soon as you are a peacemaker, you will be persecuted. Part of the deal. It's part of the deal. So when you're persecuted, it's only because there's an aroma of righteousness about you. And people who are unrighteous, they hate that smell. They hate that smell. And some of you know it from the other side because you've been around somebody who is righteous and you know that that's convicting to your own self. Like, you know that one person and you're always like, oh man, how come they're so good all the time? I can't even be good for 5 minutes and that person, they're always good and it makes me feel bad. I don't want to be around them because then I'll feel bad about my own self. You've seen this from both sides. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Now, I told you why you're going to be persecuted. Here's why you're going to be persecuted. Because you're righteous. If you go up a verse and you do the whole, blessed are those who are peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. If you're a peacemaker, you will be persecuted. I guarantee it. It's the natural consequence because righteousness has an aroma. All right, we'll move on. So, who's going to persecute you? Well, the people that you think of immediately are those villains at school or at work or people you know. Maybe they're even in your family. There's people who are out there who are villains. And they persecute. And they persecute because of righteousness. If they persecute you because you're being dumb, then you brought it on yourself. Don't even come. Don't bring that around. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. Persecuted because of righteousness. You take a stand for righteousness, and then you're persecuted, then you're blessed. Okay, so let's follow this on around. Who's going to persecute you? A lot of times you think it's the villain. It's the enemy. It's the enemy of my soul. Satan is the grand persecutor. In fact, the Bible calls him a lot of names, father of lies, right? But it also calls him the accuser of the brethren. Whenever you do something wrong, Satan's right there to tell you, ooh, you did that wrong. God's not even going to like you anymore. But there's more people out there that are persecuting. You see, who is it that persecuted Jesus? It was the religious people. It was the religious people. They led the charge. The highest of the high in the religious order, they're the ones who put Jesus on the cross. And here's the greatest fear of a youth pastor. That you guys would be persecuting each other. That's the part that makes my heart sick. And I'm so thankful that it's just rare upon rare that I hear that you guys are persecuting each other. I'm so grateful for that. And I'm here to commend you and say, keep pressing on in that because we are a family. And I don't know what your family is like. I don't know if your family is good or your family is bad or you got weird people in your family or you got siblings that do stupid stuff and they're off the rails or your parents are like my parents once upon a time and there was anger and fighting and dissension and bitterness. But you know what? When it came down to it, my dad would have taken a bullet for me because I'm his son. Because we're family. And in this room, in this place, the people who call this their youth ministry, people who wear these shirts, we're family. If you go after my family, you go after me. You want one of us? You got all of us. Because we are together. We are together. You're going to persecute my brother? You better be ready because there's going to be two of us. So, make sure you don't persecute your brothers and sisters in Christ. If persecution comes, there's this thing about how you handle it that's super important. Blessed are those who are persecuted because they get to hammer people over the head. No, that's not really what it says there at all. Wait, no. What does it say? Let's read it. Come on now. Verse 10. Put your eyes on the page. Verse 10. Put your eyes on the page because we're going to read all the way to the end. Verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. By the way, that's wherever Jesus is king. Verse 11. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward on earth. Oh, wait, that's not what it says, is it? Great is your reward where? In heaven. Great is your reward in heaven. Let me finish and I'll talk about this. Great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Great is your reward in heaven does not mean this. Somebody comes and they start hammering on me. Now, it may be somebody within the church or it may be somebody outside the church. Let's assume for a minute it's somebody outside the church and they're just a plain old villain. Okay? There's villains out there. Some plain old villain will just use this example of there's a kid who's getting picked on and I decided to stand in the gap. You're not picking on my friend anymore. Leave Joey alone. Here comes the persecution and the hammering and they're calling me names, all kinds of four-letter names. They're spit flinging from their mouths as they curse me. Okay? And you know what I'm going to say? God still loves you. Probably make them more mad, actually. But that doesn't matter. Because your place is not to pick up the rock and throw the first stone. Your place is not to rebut them with your own words. Oh, yeah? Well, you dress like a $2... Oh, wait, we can't see that. You're horrible. Right? You can't. That is not your place. Here's what Paul says. Paul says this. If we were to judge those outside the church, we'd have to judge the whole world because they're all going to hell. Because they're outside the church. And that is not our place. We're not supposed to judge them. We're just supposed to stand in the gap as a peacemaker. And when they come at us with their vile and their venom, we just stand firm. You don't back away. You don't shrink up. You don't melt. You don't go running off crying. You just stand up. It gets violent and you have to deal with that. I mean, hopefully it won't get violent, but we know how Jesus dealt with violence. Ooh, that's convicting, isn't it? You're a peacemaker. I didn't say it was going to be easy. But great is your reward in heaven. Stand your ground. You're a peacemaker. You will be persecuted. Now, if that moron is a church member, now we got a different story. If they're inside the church and they're persecuting you because of righteousness, come talk to me, because first of all, I'll just take them out. But, I'm just teasing, I don't kill people. But here's what the scripture has to say. If somebody comes and offends you, the scripture says this, so listen, folks, here we go. Here's how this works. Go and talk to them. I had to do this just not very long ago. You know what, sister in Christ? You offended me. You offended me when you said this and when you did this and when you did this. It offended me. And you go to them. And then it gives them an opportunity, because what's the first thing going on with a peacemaker? They want to restore men to God. And if somebody's messing up and you go and you give them an opportunity, this offended me. And you give them an opportunity. Oh, you know what? You're right. I was a fool and I'm sorry. And I won't do it anymore. Perfect. You have restored someone to Jesus. You're a peacemaker. That's what your job is. To restore people to God. That's what a peacemaker does. But if they're like, psh, whatever, then part two, you go and you get, now, this is complicated because you guys are all teenagers. You go and you get somebody who is wise and mature in the Lord. And you take them with you and you go and confront that person. When you did this, it offended me. It bothered me. It hurt my feelings. Or it was clearly sinful. And if you can speak specifically to it, you lied, or you gossiped, or you, whatever it is, physically hurt someone, emotionally hurt this person. and you take somebody who is emotionally mature, probably somebody who's over 25. I love y'all, but you're not super good at this part of going with, because then it just turns into, and then, you know, it's not good. You know, so take somebody who is emotionally mature with you. It may be that you need that to happen on the first try, okay? I've experienced this where I've had one kid who was offended by another kid, and it was legitimate, and they came to me and said, this person did this, this, and this. And I was like, that ain't right at all. Bring them in my office, sit them both down, and I don't say anything except just be there. Because when I'm there, for some reason, there's just less tension in the room. I don't know why. Just the way it goes, I guess. But you know what that the other person, the person who feels convicted, isn't going to say? I can't believe you. Bring this up. You've talked. No, because I'm in the room. They'd be like. And then I said, well, is that true?
Yeah.
Do you know what you need to do?
Yeah.
Okay. Make it right. Take care of it. Admit you did something wrong. Tell them you're not going to do it anymore and ask them to forgive you.
Okay.
You may need some help. I'm pretty good at that. If you need some help, let me know. I'm pretty good at that. Somebody in the church, if that still doesn't convince them, this is what the Bible says. Three strikes, you're out. Literally what Paul said is, if somebody says, yes, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, he is my Lord and Savior, and I'm going to totally deny that I'm sinning. With such a person, don't even eat. Don't invite them into your home. Expel them from your fellowship. Now, this is messy. It's not super clean. It's not like, well, February 3rd, we had that meeting, and then they didn't repent. So February 8th, we had the second meeting, and they didn't repent. So on February 9th, we wrote them a formal letter signed by the church board, and they were expelled from the fellowship, and now they're living in a van down by the river. Not exactly like that. But it does work. Because you're a peacemaker, and your job is... restore men to God. Because you're a peacemaker. Because you're a peacemaker. So, here is what being persecuted because of righteousness isn't. It isn't what I call drawing the foul. Some of you guys are good at this. Like, just the other day, I was talking to a kid. I'm not making this up. And I won't tell you who or what or where, but there was a significant disciplinary action leveled against this student. And I said, what happened? And he was like, well, this other kid came at me. I said, okay, that's not good. Yeah, just out of the blue, bam, just came after me. Oh. Okay. Well, yeah, that's not fair at all. And then I told him this. Let me tell you a story. When my boys, because I got two, and they're upstairs, and what I hear is, I told you! And then there's, you know, things thrown. You guys have never experienced this, I'm sure. And I go upstairs, and I get to them, you know, I'm there, and they're both furious. He started it. And of course, guess what they both say? He started it. And so then I get to, okay, what happened? And I make one shut up. And talk to the other one. Okay, tell me what happened. Well, he threw a baseball at my head. Okay. Did you have a mitt on? No! Do you think he meant to hurt you? Yes! Okay. All right, calm down. All right, your turn's over. Did you throw a baseball at his head? Yeah. Why? Because he stole my toy or whatever it is. To pick your, you know, maybe if you're a little bit older, he took my clothes without asking, or he borrowed my iPod or whatever it is. He took this thing from me. Did you? Gee whiz, I can't imagine why you'd throw a baseball at your head. You stole his iPod. So you know how this works? I didn't do it, Mom. She did it. She started it. Well, why'd she start it? I don't know. And you ask her, well, because she hid my car keys from me and wouldn't tell me where they were. You just drew the foul is what you did. You snuck in. You did something conniving. Then you ran away and waited to be offended. Ow! I'm hit. Somebody help me. What did you do to start this thing? So this kid I was talking about, turns out that he had made some disparaging remarks about the other kid's mom on Facebook. Like, no wonder he came after you at school, you moron! Talking about his mama. This is not persecution for righteousness. You have unsuccessfully drawn the foul. That's not what I'm talking about. Bring that nonsense to me. Oh, dear. You guys would never do that, though. Praise Jesus. We're with you guys, and you guys are pure and righteous, and your motives are always holy and above reproach. I'm thankful for that. Here's the other thing that it isn't. It isn't political. And sometimes we try to leverage things that happen to us to increase our status. So at the very beginning elementary school stuff with its playground stuff, it's kind of drawing the foul, and then you get sympathy from your teacher. Right? Like you go over and you push somebody and then you run away and then they push you back and you fall down. And then you get sympathy from your teacher. It's like a little political capital right there. Never happens on your playground, though, I'm sure, Mrs. Madison. Right? Little political capital. If you ratchet it all the way up, it goes all the way to the president. Presidents draw the foul all the time. Like they do some political maneuver that irritates somebody. And then they come back at him with all this vengeance. And then you see the president on TV going, I'm not saying that Senator Johnson should go directly to hell. I'm just saying that he damaged me and my family, and I'd appreciate your vote. So that, I mean, you get the idea, right? This political idea ratchets its way all the way to the very top. You draw the foul. That's not what this is about. This is not about drawing the foul. And here's the thing, and this is all fun and games, and it's all funny, but when we do this, we make light of the people who are honestly being persecuted for Christ. And today in the world, there are more people not just being persecuted with words, not just being persecuted with physical intimidation, not just being locked up, because that's going on too, not just having their families arrested, not just being tortured, but literally being killed. There are more Christians today being martyred. That means dying because they refuse to deny Jesus than ever before. And God honors those people. And we should too. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Remember, men who don't know Jesus have sin. And the sin is what drives them. The sin is what drives their decisions. The sin is what drives their behavior. The sin is what makes them do what they do. And so when they come at you, it's not personal. It's not about you. It has nothing to do with you, really. It's all about the fact that they are fallen and they are a slave to sin. So when you're persecuted, don't take it personally. Thick skin, soft heart. Stand up, stand your ground, don't back down, but don't take it personal. It's not really about you. It's about the fact that they are a slave to sin. Okay? So remember this, when you read through the Beatitudes, Think of this. This isn't a new Ten Commandments. It's not a set of rules. It's not a checklist. This isn't about, well, was I good today? I don't know. Let's go through the checklist. Yep, I did this. Yep, I did this. It's not what this is about. This is a mirror. And Jesus is saying to you, are you who you say you are? If you are, you're going to read through this list. And you're going to be convicted, because we're all convicted, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But you're also going to be encouraged, and you're going to be reminded, this is the standard. This is what Jesus expects of us. This is what it looks like when we do it right. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, and we're so grateful that you have inspired it and made it holy and made it true and made it cut, and it just cuts right through our lies and right through our excuses and right through our nonsense. We're so grateful, Lord, that not only does it cut and open us up where we are full of sin and full of self-righteousness, but also it reminds us of what good really is. You said, blessed are the peacemakers, because you expect us to help in the process of restoring men unto yourself. And you said, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, because when that happens, it means we're doing things right. We are righteous, and it causes persecution. And our reward is amazing and waiting for us in heaven. We're grateful for that. So we ask you, help us in these things. Help us to trust you more and more, to put you first, to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Help us to be peacemakers. Help us to stand our ground. Be with us tonight and as we go forward. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.